Fred Film Radio, Seattle International Film Festival.
Angela Cherby for Fred Film Radio from the Seattle International Film Festival. I'm here with Riley Stern, the director of The Art of Self-Defense. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, your film is really intense and funny at the same time, and it's disturbing and comic. It's kind of a weird mixture. And it stars Jesse Eisenberg as it's a story of this guy who is mugged one night and is a very shy person and decides that he has to do something to become more threatening and more defensive.
Yeah, I mean, mainly Jesse in the movie is looking just to better himself. And so he's trying to find that thing that he can kind of like latch on to and figure out who he is. And that thing ends up being karate. Which sounds silly, but the way that we handle it, I think that it takes turns that people are going to they're not going to expect.
Oh, this is absolutely true, because, you know, yeah, because the film has different tones, narrative tones throughout of it, because it starts like a comedy, kind of absurd, like slightly grotesque, then it turns into an action film, into a thriller, and psychological thriller, so it's a lot of stuff. And you hit on many strong issues in your film, besides arms and manipulation of people and the role of genders. How did you manage to put all that in content in one single film in that way?
I mean, I don't know. Like, there were things that I wanted to explore, and unfortunately, gun violence in the United States is a thing that we've been dealing with forever. And so as I was writing it, I felt like it was very relevant, and I was writing it in 2015, so it's sad to say that it's still very relevant. Gender issues were, something that we've always been dealing with, but I feel like even more so recently. But yeah, again, 2015, these were things that I was thinking about. These were all just like ideas and thoughts that I was exploring in my own head, and I wanted to kind of put them all together in a film. For some reason, making a karate film was the way that I thought that I could kind of blend it all together. Again, silly. It sounds so silly, but these were things that I've been wanting to explore for a while, and I've been doing jiu-jitsu for about 6 years now, and the martial arts element was exciting to me as just like a personal thing. But I guess I thought that people might think the film would be one thing, and then I could subvert those expectations and slip in some thoughts and ideas that they might not be expecting.
I mean, you treat the karate word in a respectful but also ironic way at the same time, because you know the rules are very strict. The philosophy is pure. But the way this philosophy is used by Alessandro Nivola, who is the sensei of the film, are completely twisted. And you do the same thing, the same kind of approach with the arm issue, for the arms issue, because you talk about arms like weapons, like in an ironic way, kind of very, I don't want to say disgusting, but kind of, you know, you don't like them at all, and it shows in the film. But everything is said like the way the people sells weapons will say it, so it's actually correct.
Yeah, I mean, like the idea for there's specifically a scene where Casey, Jesse Eisenberg's character, goes in to buy a gun, and the guy running the gun store tells him some facts, and those facts just happen to be pretty horrifying, but they are facts at the end of the day. Yeah,
and funny too, because people were laughing a lot at that scene.
Sure.
But those things are so absurd.
Well, especially in Seattle. Yeah. People get that humor. If we were showing this in the middle of nowhere in the United States, maybe they wouldn't laugh in the same sort of way. But I think even people who are gun owners will probably get a sense of, like, kind of get the sense of humor about it, which is weird to say, but I feel like I've seen that happen. So, I don't know. I don't want to preach. I don't want to, like, make a message film. But at the same time, there are things that I believe that it's going to be impossible for those ideals not to come across when you watch my movies. Because, yeah, I think we all have our own thoughts and beliefs. And, I mean, that seeps into your art. So, yeah.
The very good thing about your film is that you manage to keep a well balance between the issues that we were talking about and the way you you manage them. Because also another issue that is talked is the role of women in the karate world, but it's of course then transported in the real world.
Sure.
And the things that you had your characters say are so strong and so bad, but you made them say in a way that we accepted it and we make fun of them.
Yeah.
Even if they stays with us, they stay with us because they are kind of disturbing facts.
It was just it's a literalness. Everybody in my movie is saying their dialogue in a way that's very black or white. There's no gray area. So for me, that was a way of selling the sense of humor. If you say something very deadpan, like you believe it, you don't say it as if it's a joke, it makes it funnier. I was at South by Southwest, and the second screening, Frank Oz, the great Frank Oz, came up to me afterwards, and I was in the middle of shaking his hand before I realized who he was, and I just all of a sudden realized and kind of was taken aback, and he said, you can never sell a joke as a joke or it won't be funny, and you did it the right way, and I just wanted to say I loved your film. And that meant so much to me, because somebody like him coming up and saying that you did something right, and it felt right, but like for him to say it too, that was a big deal. But that's just like kind of how I like to treat comedy, but also the seriousness too as well. Saying something super serious and then like kind of nailing it on the head nailing the audience over the head with it, that doesn't sell your ideals. I feel like you got to let people make their own decisions.
Listen, why did you choose and how did you choose the style of your film? Because it really follows the characters and the irony of the old storytelling with a style which is visually very precise.
Yeah, I feel like people have used formalistic to describe my stuff before, and I like that word. I don't like to treat something like, I don't know, it's too informal. I'm not a big handheld kind of guy. I like to if I'm going to shoot something, I want it to be shot from a certain angle for a certain reason, and for better or for worse. And even if I'm later on think, oh, I should have shot that from a different angle, I don't want to be, I'm glad I made that decision on the day. I don't want to just kind of like have the camera like floating around and like, I don't know, I treat it with this informality, which I feel like is not necessarily disrespectful to what you're doing, but like I want to make a decision. I want to be decisive. And then that's important to me.
And do you storyboard?
I do not storyboard. I do an informal shot list, kind of a rudimentary shot list. And then on the day, we kind of go through and I can make that shot list different. But yeah, I like to have a plan in place because it's better to be prepared. But then on the day, things can change. So yeah, but no storyboarding. That's going to change probably for the next thing that I do. I've got some bigger action things. And for those action things in particular, maybe. But even then, I can say that I might show up on to set one day and then throw one of those things out. Like, you never know. So, I like to think about my stuff, though. It's fun.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks out to Riley Stearns, the director of The Art of Self-Defense from the Seattle International Film Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.